Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is John Ball, who's managing director with Stiefel Nicholas. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Kemp.
Yeah, good to be with you. We're kind of in the middle between all these releases for year-end and fourth quarter and hearing what's happening with first quarter. I thought it'd still be good to talk to you. Just a little background. Most of our listeners know, John, that you follow the interior furnishings market, which includes floor covering, mattresses, furniture. You report on the publicly traded companies. Why don't we just look back, though, even though it's ancient history, and talk about year-end numbers for the three companies that you look at are Mohawk, Interface, and Armstrong. Anything to take note of there as we look at their year-end?
You know, certainly when you talk about the residential side of the world, which is a narrow piece of Interface, it got better as we went through the year. Even though I think maybe weather nipped us a little in December, there was a palpable sense of improvement in the repair and remodel market. Yeah, that's the piece we've been waiting on, those independent retailers, the home centers, to start seeing volumes pick up. And my sense is that began spring, summer of last year, and frankly continued right through the fourth quarter. So I think that was the real encouragement. Commercial was flattish, slightly up maybe. Obviously, we saw Tile still taking share from Broadloom, so that certainly benefits Interface. And I think the outlook for commercial is up, but a little bit muted relative to the outlook for residential.
Yeah, let's look at Mohawk for a minute, because this year, with year end, they had finally absorbed their Marazzi and Pergo acquisitions. That also makes it, though, difficult to track it, to use a slang, same store sales, if you will. I'm sure you dug deep into Mohawk. How did they do on continuing operations? You know, obviously, they did well when you start to consider everything they'd acquired.
Well, there's a couple things that we look at, Kemp, when trying to get at that same store sales number, if you will, or what we call organic growth, backing out the acquisition influence. The consolidated number, so you take the three divisions, carpet, ceramic, laminate, was up about 6% in the fourth quarter year over year on a revenue basis. I believe carpet was right around 3%. I think ceramics was 12%, and I forget the laminate number. It was somewhere in between those two. And the more important number, though, that I focus on is what I would call the contribution margin. That is, for each incremental dollar of revenue, how much of that dropped to the EBIT line. And that's where you get into some of the impacts from synergy, cost savings, what have you, from the acquisitions. And the contribution margins in all three segments were quite strong. You know, the carpet segment contribution margin, which the company has guided historically in the 20 to 25% range, in other words, an increased dollar of revenue would increase EBIT 20 to 25 cents. You know, that number is pushing, you know, 75 to 100% the last few quarters. Now, that's not sustainable, but that gives you a feel, even in carpet where there weren't acquisitions, how diligent Mohawk has been in watching costs. I believe their SG&A dollars were down year over year in the carpet segment. So when you only have a 3% revenue gain, but you mixed up a little bit likely on product with their soft products that grew gross margin, and then you took your overhead costs down, you can have strong contribution margins. So I think that the news out of Mohawk is 6% organic is good, certainly better than anything we've seen in the downturn, but they're really leveraging their costs.
And they're trading at about 140 now, so how do you have them as far as buy, hold, or sell?
Yeah, we have a buy. We still like the stock. I've been accused of being a perma-bull on Mohawk for years. I didn't go back and look. I think we've covered it since 1990. It'd be interesting to see how many of those years I have been recommending the stock. It's certainly the majority, and it certainly treated me well. We still like the stock. You know, I think this recovery in the U.S. has 3 to 5 years to run. I mean, they're doing some interesting things in Europe, particularly with Marazzi. So the one piece I'm a little worried about, Russia.
Yep.
They do have a meaningful piece of business in Russia. They've already guided that business on a profit basis to be relatively flat this coming year. That economy is slowing, and all these recent developments aren't going to help that. Mohawk's reasonably diverse around the globe. I believe they're about a 70%, 30% mix, domestic, international.
Okay, let's talk about Interface. You know, generally, historically, we see where you have to have a strong residential market for the commercial market to really kick in. It usually lags. Last year, as we all know, on the flooring side, our estimate is that the flooring market grew 7% overall, but the strongest part of it was residentially. So tell us what's going on with Interface, who focuses primarily on commercial market.
Well, I have somewhat of a less robust outlook for commercial than some of the peers I compete against. When you mentioned how the pattern typically works out where the residential leads and commercial follows, you know, the primary reason for that, at least historically, has been that, you know, the consumer is anywhere from 70% of our economy. You know, as they get healthy, then that spending starts to cycle through the economy and effectively plays down to the corporate level, and people get on airplanes and go to hotels and all those things. I think this cycle is going to play out a little bit different. I mean, I guess the good news is the residential piece is rebounding. I think what is interesting is we look at percentages in our business, and while that's important, the absolutes in residential are still quite weak. So you look at any metric, housing starts, housing turnover, all kinds of confidence levels and things like that. And we're still at very low levels. Now, on a percentage basis, we're up nicely off of the lows. But I think this cycle could be a little bit different because, in my opinion, the economy, while it's technically recovering on a GDP basis, is still quite anemic. And it's very bifurcated between the haves and the have-nots. The wealthy are doing relatively well, and the lower incomes are struggling considerably. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. The commercial sector did have its own recession. It is off its bottom. I think the trend is up. I'm not trying to suggest otherwise. But I'm not sure we're going to see those mid and high single-digit organic growth numbers for commercial like I expect we will see in residential.
Let's talk about that housing, those numbers again, because a lot of people are saying, yeah, in this first quarter, this weather has been a major impact. So we'll probably see some flat numbers with these publicly traded companies. Just yesterday, the numbers came out about existing home sales, but they prefaced all that and blamed it on the weather. So what's your take on that?
You know, I've been doing this for over 30 years. The rule of thumb is whenever a management team talks about weather, you know, watch out. There's really something else going on. I remember way back in the day when Galaxy Carpet Mills was public, where in one quarter they suffered both from a drought and a flood impacting their business. True story. Look, weather this time is real and legitimate. You track companies. Lumber Liquidators, for example, commented that in the month of January, in their non-weather impacted areas, their comparable store sales were up about 10%. And then in the weather-impacted areas, we're negative 10%, and they've never seen a spread that wide in a month amongst their store systems. So obviously that weather continued through February, got us behind the eight ball going into the month of March. Frankly, March has been tough month to date with weather. So if there's any good news, Wall Street, to a degree, will give these companies a hall pass as it relates to weather. I think what will be interesting to watch is how much of a spring back do we get? We should get a significant spring back. And I think we may run into some issues servicing the level of demand on a short-term basis. If the demand overall is up and then we deferred all of this demand due to weather, we'll be doing some pretty heavy catch-up. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here the latter half of March, and then April, May, as you know, seasonally, those are more important months than January, February anyway. So it's not a lost year just because the weather's been tough the first 2 months of the year.
All right, let's talk about Armstrong for just a quick second. Since you and I have talked, Frank Reddy has retired and Tom Mangus has stepped in. Seems to be a pretty dynamic leader, has a P&G background. What's your take on that?
It's a radical change in strategy. Essentially, they're going to run for profit. So if you took out the divestiture in wood flooring last year, their wood flooring volumes increased 17%. That's good. They didn't make any money. That's not good. And they're going to make money. So to a degree, they're going to fire customers where they need to. I know they had some fixed contracts with some of the larger home builders on price. Well, that wasn't, in hindsight, real smart, given lumber inflation and other issues. So what you're going to see, they struggle with overtime and trying to ramp their production. Obviously, green lumber is usually dried on the yard and much less expensive. They were out having to dry buy pre-dried lumber.
Right.
So we're going to see a radical shift under Tom, I think, where they're going to run for profit. I still think you'll see growth. okay? But they're going to constrain their capacity to some degree and sell what they could make money on. So it's a very different strategy under Mangus going forward than what they employed last year.
Okay. I know you don't follow Dixie, so I can't ask you to comment about this recent news about Dixie buying Atlas, but do you think there's going to be more consolidation in 14?
I think whenever the asset values are up, you know, Mohawk stock has done well, Interface's stock has done well. Armstrong has not done that poorly, frankly, given how sloppy their earnings performance has been. There's certainly more financial capability to do things. You know, it takes two to tango, as we say, a willing seller as well as a willing buyer. Yeah, I do think we'll see more activity going forward. As I said, I think the outlook is fairly positive. I see lending loosening up a little bit. Equity values, as I talked about, are up. Yeah, I think the environment is certainly more ripe for deals to get done prospectively than historically.
Any new publicly traded companies going to roll out this year?
I keep my eyes out. You know, we've seen Lumber Liquidator succeed. The Tile Shop did a SPAC, which is a complicated way of going public. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see more developments on the retail front. I'm not sure about the manufacturing front. It's certainly possible. As I say, valuations are relatively high. That's conducive to an IPO kind of backdrop.
Yeah. Okay, great, John. Good to talk to you. Again, been talking to John Ball, who's managing director with Stifel Nicolaus, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.